right. Good evening, everyone. How's everyone doing? Good, good. Good to gather together. And we're continuing onward tonight, going on, and we'll be finishing up Psalm 68. And it's really been a little journey through just reminding ourselves of the faithfulness of the Lord God Almighty. And we've gotten to do the quartet, as I've been calling it, of these four psalms. And we get little glimpses even in our body of recently of just moments of reminders of the Lord's faithfulness. Pastor David's back safely, praise the Lord, and it is a true reminder of his faithfulness, seeing what's going on in that region with Pakistan and India right now. I'm thanking the Lord he's on our soil and safe, and continue to be praying there. The teachings for Pastor Jeff went well with the men's retreat at Calvary Chapel Cincinnati, another praise to the Lord, and the Peace of God conference at Calvary Chapel Jacksonville was a sweet blessing and good time, and just to see the way the Lord was moving the hearts there. The Lord led an invite for prayer at the end of the teaching I did, and it was such vulnerability in ways I have not seen often, and it was just beautiful, and I'm encouraging, be praying for all the seeds that have been planted from that, from the retreat that Jeff was at, and then also from all the teachings in India. And we're going to have the update this Sunday, so I won't say more than that, but it's going to be very exciting to hear everything the Lord's done. And then I give praise to the Lord for this past Sunday here. You know, Paul Marini, the way he took care of the worship set and put that together with some of the troops missing, Larry and Jack stepping up in other ways as they faithfully did. And then we've got our other elder, Paul. The teaching he gave was such a blessing. I had somebody who had reached out and said, you know, I'm going to make it a manual on spiritual warfare. And I was like, let's do it. So just thanking the Lord for his faithfulness in so many different ways. And as we enter the word right now, I want to remind us he's also faithful to speak to us through his word every time we're in the word of God, and to not forget that. And one of the things we've got to remind ourselves as we get into the word is, are you open? Are you open to what the Lord wants to speak to you tonight? Are you humble? Men, where we are in James, we talked about receiving the word of God with meekness. It means you got to have a teachable spirit. Do you? Do you know it all? Are you teachable? And are you willing? Are you willing to surrender to the convictions the Lord lays on your heart through the teaching of his word? And that could be a conviction for something he wants you to do. It could be a conviction for somebody he wants you to pray for. It could be a conviction, whatever it is, are you willing to surrender to that? Because that's where the bridge you cross over to be a doer of the word. It's important to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, King of kings, Master, Savior, our everything. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Father, we thank you for who you are. And Lord, we thank you for this time that we get to go into your word. Father, be with us. Lord, I ask that you would lead and guide and teach through me, Lord Jesus, your people. Lord, to illuminate these verses as you desire. Father, give us all ears to hear. Father, help us all to be as children coming to the lap of our Father to hear and to learn. Father, thank you. Have your way tonight, Lord, please. Be glorified, Lord. Speak to your people. Grow your people. Refine your people. Minister to your people. Father God, you know what's going on in every single life here. Only you know. And I ask that you minister to each person here through the teaching of your word and the power of your spirit. Married as one for your glory, to penetrate our heart, minds, and souls. For your work and will in our lives. Thank you, Father, that you are the faithful Lord God Almighty. And we pray all this in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we look at this psalm, we have kind of walked through this in three different parts. And the first, we saw the victory over the enemies, and we saw the faithful victories that he brings, and we were reminded of the individual love that God has for every single one. And the passage I remind us of when we looked at this was seeing how he's a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. God sets the solitary in families, and I want to nudge us again there. Who, when you think of as in solitary in this body, might you bring into the fold? Who might you invite for a meal? Who might you say, hey, can we get to know you more? Who? Because again, it's when we look at the body of Christ, doing the word is us doing, being family is the body of Christ. So when you look at that, who may he lay on your heart? And then we saw through the mountains last week, we spent some time contrasting Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. And it's important to think about those two mountains, one of fear, one of forgiveness, one a dry land, one the city of God, one earthly, one heavenly. One only Moses, and he's the mediator. One innumerable, and Jesus is the mediator. One under the old covenant, one under the new covenant. One exclusive, one everyone's invited. Come all. When we looked at that context of the mountain, and we saw and reminded ourselves, we are in the wilderness. It's a reality. Guess what? This isn't home. We shouldn't be getting too comfortable here. This is not home. Yet our Lord, blessed be the Lord, who daily, verse 19, loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. He provides, he sustains, and it's daily. And the charge kind of stayed the same as we were pondering his faithfulness, praising his faithfulness, which points us to the character and nature of God, which, guess what, is vitally important for us to actually do. It's important for us to think about the faithfulness of our Lord, his character and his nature, because we got to fill our tank on him, because guess what? Trials, persecution, hardship, I'm going to tell you a little secret, is going to come. And if you're not filled on that, it's going to be a challenge. I had a conversation earlier today with someone who was sharing of a person that's visiting them who's a missionary to Romania but lives in England, and they had blessed the meal, and he was weeping because there's fear to do that right now where he is in England because of facing persecution. So they've stopped publicly blessing the meal. They just kind of sit, but not in a way the way they did, all bowing their heads in reverence to the Lord God Almighty. And we have to realize, saints, we're not that far away from that persecution like that, fear like that could be here. And it's important for us to realize his faithfulness. Looking to the faithfulness of God is what helps us to be prepared to stand for him no matter what. Because we know his character, we know his nature. And the other part of this was to share his faithfulness. Share his faithfulness. Did you do that? Did you do that? Anybody got a testimony from sharing the faithfulness of God with somebody and laying the seeds? Because that's what is engaging with the word. We don't just take it in to keep it all up here. We take it in to let it and push it out to use it for his glory. Are there family members, friends? Are there neighbors? Everywhere around us are people headed to hell. Are you sharing the truth? When you hear folks praying and there's a hopelessness or there's a hopelessness just around you, are you pointing them to the hope of the Lord God Almighty? That's what it is to share his faithfulness. That third part of that, how are we doing with that? So we're going to go on in Psalm 68, and we're also going to juxtapose the finish of Psalm 68 with the beginning of Psalm 69, and you'll see why when we get there. But let's begin, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. Our God is the God of salvation, and to God the Lord belong escapes from death. So we see this benediction, this blessing of the Lord, this blessing for his daily mercies. And if we think about that phrase, God of salvation, for the Israelites, there's this concrete moment of the fact he's delivered them from Egypt. Remember this. They would be pointing to that. And for us, the cross is our deliverance. Because at the cross, saints, guess what? We're delivered from our own Egypt. We're delivered from our own Egypt. But if you think about what we looked at last week and being in the wilderness, do you allow the wilderness that we're in, of the wilderness of the world, to suddenly become the wilderness of your Egypt before the Lord God Almighty? Because if we're not too careful, sometimes that happens. But there's two different things, because the wilderness of our Egypt is without God. Then we know the Lord, the Holy Spirit indwells us, and then we're in the wilderness of this world, but we anchor in the Lord God Almighty. And that's when we can say, our God is the God of salvation. And you anchor on him, you hold to him, and you realize to God the Lord belong escapes from death. Because there's one way, truth, and life, and there's one faithful and true deliverer. And when we realize there's one way, truth, and life, one faithful, true deliverer, guess what we're hitting there? Judgment and salvation, saints. Because judgment's going to come. And when we think about sharing his faithfulness, a question I want you to think of, how real are you in sharing his faithfulness? Are you comfortable sharing the judgment and wrath of God to come? And if you're not, what holds you back from that? And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to go up to people, hello, God is faithful, you're going to hell if you don't know him. That's not what we're saying here. But in the context of sharing the faithfulness of God, are you real about his imminent return, the wrath that is to come, the judgment that is to come, unto the hope of salvation from a God who is just and faithful and who daily loads us with benefits? And it's not this daily, when we see in verse 19, that we get whatever we want. It's what we need to be able to live for him, to serve him. Then we see verse 21, but God will wound the head of his enemies, the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that your foot may crush them in blood, and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. So this is an interesting piece here, because when we look, we see a reminder, the enemies of God, those working, because you're either all in for the Lord or you're not. But when we look at this, the Lord said, I'll bring back from Bashan, I will bring them back from the depths of the sea. Think of Bashan, the high mountain, the depths of the sea. There's a reminder here. You can't hide from God. You can't escape from God. And guess what? We should rest in the fact, those against the Lord God Almighty, his word, his ways, they cannot hide from God. And we see, if you think in this world, there's kind of two ways that we can think about this idea of them going to Bashan or going to the depths of the sea. Think of the way the culture says, make as much money as you can and have as much power. You be in control. You be the best you that you can be. Keep going. Excel, excel. Elitism is the goal. How elite can you be? How exclusive can you be? And then if we think of the depths of the sea and how dark it can get, let's think about the dark web, folks, and the dark entanglement that is available on the internet and dark perversion and horrible things. I'm not going there. But both of those gaps, the elitism and the depths of vileness and vulgarity, guess what? Can't hide in either spot. You cannot hide in either spot. And it's the hairy scalp of the one who still goes on and trespasses. It's this idea you can keep going on, and culturally, culture gives you security in going on in sin. If you're going on in sin, the world gives you a nice pat on the back. Keep going. And then you can find your affinity group that supports the sin you're doing, and you've got your allies. But guess what? There's no secrets from God. Lucifer's five I wills that we've looked at in Isaiah 14 are not actually attainable. The pride of life, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, those are all masks that keep you from seeing reality. You can't escape God's judgment. our culture, when we think of these ideas of where the enemies are going, and they're on the heights, they're in the depths, they're all over. It's the world of relative truth. It's the world of relativity. It's the world of I have my truth, you have your truth, Janet has her truth, Susie has her truth, we all have our truths, and we're all okay. Yet we know, saints, there's one way truth in life. You can't escape it. And the enemies of God face judgment, that your foot may crush them in blood and the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from your enemies. Crushing. God wounds the enemies. God crushes the enemies. Immediate application. Think of the Ark of the Covenant coming to Jerusalem. When could it happen? Only after David defeated Israel's surrounding enemies through the strength of the Lord God Almighty. There had to be a defeat that take place. Elohim, verse 21, helps. Adonai, verse 22, the Lord Master, the Lord of Lords, Lord over humanity, crushing. So there's an immediate application to this idea of crushing. And then I want us to take the biblical application with the whole counsel of the Word of God and go back to Genesis chapter 3 and remind ourselves of what we're told of the enemy being crushed. The curse to Satan. Verse 15 of Genesis 3, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Animosity between Satan and mankind. We're born in a sin nature, rebellious to God, and we're born fearing Satan. Yet at the cross, it shifts to fearing the Lord God Almighty because we don't care about the world system. And the doom of Satan to come is pointed here in Genesis. His battle versus the seed of the woman, virgin birth foretold, not the seed of man, seed of the woman. And we see here the battle that's going to come. Jesus crushing Satan with the mortal wound, the plan of salvation and deliverance. And saints, when we see this, how it's foretold here, this is why the humanity of Christ matters so much. Because he had to come in human form to take this defeat. We have to have the deity and the humanity. A quote from Charles Spurgeon on this verse that I love. This is the first gospel sermon that was ever delivered upon the face of the earth. It was a memorable discourse indeed, with Jehovah himself for the preacher and the whole human race, and the prince of darkness for the audience. In this passage, we see this reminder. It's the hintings of what we know to Telestai. It is finished. Now, here's a question. If we think about what we're seeing in our psalm of praise of his faithfulness, that he's going to wound the heel of his enemies, and then we know there's one enemy because there's one looking about trying to devour us, and we know who that is, and we know the fall that's had at the cross. Think of your life now. Do you live as though it is finished? Do you live as though it is finished? Or do you live a life where you allow shame, condemnation, to be the lens through which you navigate when you've been forgiven? It is finished. It is finished. The debt has been paid in full. There was a tally that needed to be done. There was a debt that needed to be paid. It's death on the cross. The perfect substitute came, Jesus Christ. The debt has been paid in full. The victory over the judgment, the victory over Satan, it's taken place through our faithful God. And that, saints, that's part of why we share his faithful ways unto the cross. Because when you look at the faithfulness of God to send his son, that we can be forgiven, Satan then has no power over the child of God. Go back and listen to the spiritual battle from Sunday. There is no power. And that's where then mindset matters. I think when we think of spiritual warfare, mindset matters. Are you living with that eternal mindset? Or do you think this is it? This is the best it's going to be. Because if you're there, it's going to be a lot harder. Have that eternal mindset. Realize the enemies that come, don't get lost at the enemies in front of you. You can make a list of, I could say, who are your enemies? Don't say this. And you start spewing people you got beef with. Get rid of the beef. Forgive them. Beef means controversy, if you will. But when we look at this, there's one enemy, Satan. Be aware. It's a spiritual battle. Verse 24. They've seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the maidens playing timbrels. Bless God and the congregations, the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin, their leader, the princes of Judah and their company, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. This is a victory parade after the battle. We see the points to these different regions in verse 27. Benjamin, Judah, Zebulun, Naphtali, and this is showing here all of Israel is present. And what's interesting here is the leader there, there's a little thing I found interesting, that the Benjamin, it's a tribe of King Saul. Interesting when you think of the relationship David and King Saul had, there's a little bit of grace there. But we see this procession of victory. And there's three processions I want us to think of. The Ark of the Covenant through the wilderness in the Exodus. What a procession that was. The God leading his armies in Israel time and time again. There's countless moments where we see this. And boy, what it will be in the millennial reign of King Jesus. And in each one of these moments, bless God in the congregation. It's about the Lord God Almighty. The victory, the praise goes to the Lord God Almighty alone. And when we think of this procession and parade, I know I mentioned this before, but it's a reminder. Memorialize your victories. What's your procession of praise like unto the Lord God Almighty? What's your procession of praise like? Because if you think this procession would take place, they'd be going. We talked about different ones that you can see when the women would be leading these, Miriam and others. When we think of these processions, what's your procession of praise like? Does your life reflect praise to the Lord God Almighty for the victory he's given? Because I think sometimes you can hear that and think, well, you know, there's this going on in my life and this going on and I'm not doing this. Think of the work of the cross. And as you go on in time, you could forget. Go back. Think of the BC before Christ and realize who you are now, where you are in him. And then what is your victory march of salvation? Do you take time to give him thanks? Do you take time to give him praise? And let it be a procession, because a procession isn't hidden. It's public. It's out in the open. It's, hey, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. So we're going to get everybody tambourines, and from now on, if you're walking in your neighborhood, you need to play the tambourine and sing praise to the Lord. Who's in? Wait, there we go. I got one. Okay, good. Thank you, brother. But truly, we jest here a little bit, but truly, saints, that should be us as children of God. That should be us. Proclaiming the faithfulness, proclaiming the victory he has done loudly, joyfully, blessing him for all he has done. And then from that place, realize the future victories, the future wins for his glory to come, because we march from a place of victory because of the cross. The debt's been paid, sin has been defeated, and the eternal victory means the immediate battles are already won. That's a hard thing to remember. I struggle with remembering that. The enemy can come, boom, and I'm knocked down, and then I got to remind myself. That's where the elders, thank you for them, brothers and sisters, and remind, no, the battle's already been won. I got to get up and march for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look to him and his strength. Verse 28. Your God has commanded your strength. Strengthen, O God, what you have done for us. Because of your temple at Jerusalem, kings will bring presents to you. Rebuke the beasts of the reeds, the herd of the bulls, with the calves of the peoples, till everyone submits himself with pieces of silver. Scatter the peoples who delight in war. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. Selah. to him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old. Indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God. So we saw our third Selah in this psalm, and it took place talking of his strength, the presence, the gifts coming to the king, him rebuking those against, the envoys coming out of Egypt. Ethiopia will stretch out her hands to God. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. All singing to the Lord God Almighty. It's this pointing and reminding, all coming to praise. Because prophetically, the Gentiles will be grafted in through the cross. Verse 30, this rebuking of the reeds, the herds of the bulls, the calves of the people, this is poetic portraits to the Egyptians and surrounding nations. But notice in this poetic portrait of them, it's not David singing praise and taking it into his own hands. We see that throughout the Psalms. Because the battle is whose to fight? God. He fights the battle. The enemy at hand, it's a hard issue. And there's something we got to understand, saints. There's nothing you or I can say to change a heart. There is nothing you or I can say to change a heart. Because it comes through the Spirit of God, the Word of God. It's a work of God. Now, that's not to say, okay, so then we're just quiet. No, he uses. We're faithful and obedient. But there's sometimes this idea, okay, this person says, I'm going to tell you all these things. I'm going to win them for Christ. We don't win them. Jesus does it. He builds his church. We're faithful and obedient. And when the persecution comes, when the attack comes, sometimes the best thing you can do is shut your mouth and pray. I'm learning that myself too. Sometimes the best thing to do is to pray because the battle's won in prayer. Great is his faithfulness. Great is his faithfulness. When we think of, you know, what have we been doing since October 7th? We pray for Israel. We're called to pray for Israel. We want the scales removed from these Jewish people to see he is the King of Kings. And we faithfully serve, we faithfully pray. But there's nothing I can do to force a heart to repent unto salvation. It's a work of God. That's why prayer matters so much. That's why prayer matters so much. We need to pray. Because the strength, where does it come from? Verse 28, God's the source of strength. And through that, strengthen us, Lord, with what you've already done. Because he's building a foundation on us. The trials refine us. We know this from his word. The discipline that he brings up in Hebrews, because we get discipline from the Lord, sometimes it's all for his glory, all to chisel and refine us for his glory. That then we look to his faithfulness and we rejoice. And that then when the enemies come, as we see here, we don't say, oh, I got this. I got my Glock 19X. I'm ready to go. No, it's not going to do much for you. Pray. Let the Lord God Almighty handle the battle. I love my Glock, I'm saying, but that's not going to win the battle. That's not going to take care of it. It's the Lord God Almighty. He's the faithful one. When we see here this pointing to the gifts of kings, we know when they left Egypt, what did they get? They got all the goods, right? They left with the goods, and we talked about how that built the tabernacle. We also know the ultimate fulfillment of this. When the King of Kings come, and the kings come to lay gifts before him. The ultimate fulfillment. When we are looking for strength, when we are looking for deliverance, it's ultimately found at the cross. And in this portion that we see here is the rest of this text, David's confidence is found in one place, God's hand and his covenant with the people of Israel. That's where it lies. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel. And his strength is in the clouds. Then we see, oh God, you're more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. David puts all of his confidence in God. Then we look at us. Where do you put your confidence? I remember when I had to go through that season as an opera singer, I realized, wow, how arrogant I've become. Yale Opera. My confidence was in Yale Opera because I'm a Yale Opera trained singer and it's one of the best programs and they pay you to be in it and we're adored. No, my confidence should have been in the Lord God Almighty. Your confidence isn't in degrees. Your confidence isn't in how much money you have in your bank account. Your confidence isn't in what you've achieved or what you've done. Our confidence is in God. The same way we see it for David here. That's where our confidence needs to be. Our confidence is in God. Passage we keep looking at when we think of this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Health to your flesh. Strength to your bones. What are you called to trust with? All of your heart. And then when you look at the passages where we're told to turn away from sin, it's often flee from all. Because you empty all of yourself. And you trust all of yourself in him. And our confidence is in him alone. God wants all. He wants all of us. Our confidence can't be in our will. Our confidence can't be in our intellect. Our confidence is in God. Our confidence is in God. And when you look at a psalm like this and think of his faithfulness in the covenant to the people of Israel, then sending his son, us grafted in, all to come, can you not say we serve a faithful God? He is so faithful. Sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to the Lord. Selah. That Selah struck me as we were going through and praying through it. Because as I was praying through it, Lord, what do you want your people to glean from this Selah? Because it's singing to the kingdoms of the earth. Everyone, the ability to sing and praise the Lord. Singing praises to the Lord. Selah. And there is a reminder to sing praises to the Lord God Almighty. You've got to have a heart of surrender. You've got to have a heart of surrender. To praise God is to surrender to God. Because praise is worship. The ultimate worship is obedience. Obedience does not take place without surrender. We have to surrender. Because he desires us to worship in what? Spirit and truth. It's a humility. It's a surrender. It's tuning the instrument of our hearts. Saints, what's your heart of praise? Where's your humility? What's your heart of praise? When you think about going to the Lord in praise and worship, where's the heart? Now, again, this body on a Sunday morning, boy, is it a blessing because it is truly hearts singing up. I missed y'all this Sunday because it's just, my wife and I had a moment. We were just singing. We loved being where we were, but we were like, there's just something so tender and special about the worship at our church and the people of our church. And we love this body. And there's just something the Lord does when we all come together and it's like the throne rooms are open and we're singing to the King. And still, we need to check, what's our heart of praise? Is there humility before we go through that? Because he's a faithful God who's faithfully humble. The faithful, humble servant. And therefore, our heart, check the instrument. If is it flesh or moving towards the spirit, tune out the flesh so that you can then sing to God, you kingdoms of the earth, oh, sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides on the heaven of heavens, which were of old, indeed, he sends out his voice, a mighty voice, the powerful voice of our King. Ascribe strength to God. His excellence is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, you are more awesome than your holy places. The God of Israel is he who gives strength and power to his people. David rejoices at the close of this, and the rule, the sovereignty, the reign of God in his strength. In his hand over Israel. I've said it before, but when we go through these Psalms, I don't know about you, but as we have the conversations about Israel, I find myself now pointing to the Psalms also, because you see the importance of Israel throughout the word of God, but throughout these Psalms, the reminder, his promise to Israel, his faithfulness to Israel, his hand as the God of Israel over Israel, his strength and power. This is a psalm of his faithfulness that ends with all eyes, the world, the kingdoms of the earth focused on him. This is a psalm that ends with a little bit of propheticness because we see the Gentile nations submitting to Jehovah. We know that's going to come, joining in to the praise. And it ends with this idea, you're more awesome than your holy places. God is better than any holy place. It's that reminder to us, the building isn't the Lord God Almighty. The church, he's in us. He's in us. The Spirit of God dwells in us. Where we go, we bring the presence of God and we seek to point people to the Lord God Almighty. The title of this three series with this was Praise His Faithful Ways. And you could say, well, why, Pastor Vince, we spend so much time on praising his faithful ways. We get it. Praise the Lord. We get it. Look to his faithfulness. Well, why do we do that? One, he is. There's a reason he is. Two, he is worthy of all praise. And I think too often the bride of Christ doesn't spend enough time talking about how faithful our Lord is. Because it's more about how faithful we are, how good we are. But the faithfulness of God, his character, his nature. And the other reason why, Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I've come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail me while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They are mighty who would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. Though I have stolen nothing, I still must restore it. O God, you know my foolishness, and my sins are not hidden from you. Let not those who wait for you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not those who seek you be confounded because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake, I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I've become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. I also made sackcloth my garment. I became a byword to them. Those who sit in the gate speak against me, and I am the song of the drunkards. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in the acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of your mercy, hear me in the truth of your salvation. Deliver me out of the mire, and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from those who hate me, and out of the deep waters. Let not the flood water overflow me, nor let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut its mouth on me. Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies. And do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of my enemies. Reality, saints. Trials and tribulation, hardship, persecution, will come. We look and ponder the faithfulness of God because just as we can finish that verse, blessed be God, boom, save me, O God, save me, O God. Just like that. Sorry. Poor Linda had a heart attack. I'm sorry. Forgive me. But just like that, that's how quick it changes. That's how quick it changes. And saints, if we're not spending time reminding ourselves of how faithful the Lord God Almighty is, the enemy has a field day when the boom comes. Because we fall. We fall, we sink, and he's faithful to still be there. But boy, oh boy, what is it
to realize his faithfulness is what sustains us in the faithless, fearful furrows which befall us. Something to remember. We have to look to the faithfulness of God that will sustain us. Because we'll have moments of faithlessness. We'll have moments of fearfulness. We'll have furrows that befall us. And it's only his faithfulness that holds us, because Psalm 68 tells us something very clear. He never changes. He never changes. Circumstances can change. God doesn't change. What we do can change. God doesn't change. His character and nature, as we've talked about, not contingent on us. That's a kind of a breath of a fresh air, isn't it? It's not contingent on us. He's the same, and that's why we sang. It was blessed to have that hymn tonight. Great is thy faithfulness. I shared the story with some folks. There was a predominantly all-black church that I did a recital at when I was in college, and I sang that hymn, and there was a woman who stood up, and I started, she's like, great is his faithfulness, amen. He's faithful, faithful, faithful. And she starts flapping arms, and I was taken back by it. But the Spirit of God and that woman stayed with me forever. Because she didn't care what anybody said. She was going to praise the faithfulness of God. The song finished, and she's like, why are none of you talking about his faithfulness? Even the reception after, she came up, she's like, you sang so beautifully. I'm mad at these people. They need to talk about the faithfulness of God. It was just like, amen. She would, woo. As I said to one brother, I wish they gave me a warning she was going to maybe do that. But at the end of the day, her faithfulness spoke deeply. And reminded, we got to have that fervor of the faithfulness of God so that when the trial comes, when the tribulation comes, when the persecution comes, when the hardship comes, we know, great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. And we know his mercies are new every day. So this week, the charge before you, sing songs of praise for his faithfulness. If you feel like composing one, go ahead. Maybe Pastor Jeff will compose one. But sing songs of praise for his faithfulness. And it's reminding you about the character and nature of God. And this is my public service announcement. The lyrics of worship songs matter. So if the song is a love song between you and Jesus, that's not a song about his faithfulness. His character and nature. And the second piece, share our faithful God as never before. And I hope every single one of us, I've been praying, takes that charge seriously. Share our faithful God as never before. Because saints, we're in a faithless world. We're in a world that is so dark, that is so sad, and people need the faithful God who was faithful to Israel. We're grafted in, and he's faithful to us. Read Hebrews 11. And then notice where that whole line of his faithfulness leaves us, to lay aside every weight and sin and to look unto him, the author and finisher. So I challenge us, sing songs of praise to him of his faithfulness and share our faithful God as never before. I've given and the Lord's led to give that before, but really do it, saints. If you're going to go get gas after this, share our faithful God with the person that is pumping gas across from you, whatever. Something I shared earlier with the Pope vote that's going on. It's an opportunity to talk about the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Share our faithful God. Ask the Lord, help me to view the world around me with your eyes. Lost people needing Christ and children of God needing a reminder of the faithful servant. That's what we need to be doing. Because again, this whole psalm that we've looked at, it's his goodness, it's his faithfulness to the people of Israel. And that then is applied to us, grafted in, should drive us to pray for Israel and should drive us sing of his praises and tell people about our faithful God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, we thank you for how faithful you are. Lord, I pray, help us, Lord Jesus, and the world around us to truly tell and share a of your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, this world sells so many lies of where to put your faith. And peace is found in Christ alone. Hope is found in Christ alone. Life is found in Christ alone. Help us, Lord, to take the mantle to be ambassadors for the ministry of reconciliation to you, God the Father, through God the Son, allowing God the Spirit to work in and through us that he may have his way through your word to bring conviction unto repentance, unto salvation. Father, help us to remind ourselves of all the many times and ways we've seen your faithfulness in our lives. Lord, each of us could have a moment where we've seen your faithfulness. We've prayed and we've seen the faithfulness of God to comfort, to answer that prayer, to protect that family member, to bring salvation, to bring healing, to bring deeper communion with you, to provide and meet exactly as you ordain. Lord, search our hearts and remove any parts of us, Lord, that have forgotten how faithful and good you are. Father, the areas where we need to, that we would say, I believe, but help my unbelief. Lord, to be real with you and to have you, Lord, mold us as clay for your glory. Father God, thank you for this time. I pray for travel mercies for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, may we rejoice in the faithful God of Israel, the God of creation, the Lord of lords, the mighty King, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray all this. Amen. Amen. Have a wonderful evening.